creative arts with a contemporary church session, if that's the one you're looking for. If not, you're welcome to stay anyway. If you're looking for the detailed outline of the talk, it's on page 18, feel free to be creative on that page. But let's get to know who we're speaking to. This is Bren McLean and Josh Hawkins. They're going to be leading our talk today. Guys, do you want to tell us, each of you, how you became a Christian, and tell us a bit about your family?
All right. My dad is a minister. It's a little bit, you know, a bit boring. But so I've been in the church my whole life. Took Jesus seriously probably in the early high school. That's when it kind of clicked. And I kind of see it as I'm making a decision for Jesus every day, not just this once-off thing. So did that, and my family is, we've got a minister. Everyone's in Africa at the moment, actually. I'm the only one in my family who's not in Africa, which is all right. So I'd rather be here at King's School. So my sister's over there volunteering for a year, and independently of that, my dad and mum just went over there to do some ministry. So, yeah, I'm left behind, which is cool. I'm very happy to be here.
My name's Bren McLean, and I'm the creative minister at St. Paul's, which is a music minister, creative arts, all that sort of stuff. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My folks were Catholic, not really practicing, so I'd sort of visit once or twice a year church. But when I was 21, I met a girl in the office, and things sort of bloomed from there, and we got married, and not long after that I became a Christian, just from wanting to spend more time with her and her family and her church and small group. So that's, yes, maybe some of you can relate to that, I don't know, but yeah, just a different story to Josh, who grew up in a Christian house. I didn't, as I said, but around 21, became a Christian and saw that Jesus was real and it wasn't just stories, and that it's meant to be something that you do every day of your life, like you said, whereas quite contrary to my Catholic upbringing, it was once or twice a year and just sort of when you feel like it. How did we get involved in ministry? I was working as a sales rep in the transport industry in my 20s, and was a musician, not professional, but on the side, was playing in bands for a long time, and really enjoyed the music industry and more than a hobby, and had a good job, but felt that there was a call to maybe do something a bit more, for me, something more substantial, something in the church. And in the churches that I was in, I was always involved in music, and over time gradually had some leadership roles. To cut a long story short, I saw a position advertised at St. Paul's and thought, I hadn't really given it a lot of thought before. There's not a lot of music jobs out there. If you're in, you know, involved in music or pastoring at church, you know that there's a lot of ministers involved, but there's not a lot of music ministers who are paid. So I thought it would always be a hobby. And I saw this job in one of the magazines and thought, okay, that would be fantastic. Make a short story even shorter, applied for the job and got the job, and it's been fantastic. It's been a calling. God has directed me even before that. I can see volunteer roles that I had in other churches all preparing me to do it in a full-time.
I think Bren downplayed his musical talents a little bit. He was in an In Excess cover band, right? That's amazing. You should, you know, it's be proud of that, man. For me, I feel like I didn't listen to God for ages. I was like, you know, whatever you want me to do, let me know. Let me know, like, specifically. And he never did. And so I just went, all right, I'll go to Bible college. I really didn't want to go to Bible college. I went, and then over the process of 3 or 4 years, realized that, yeah, ministry was, that was it for me. I had no other skills. So I just started this year at St. Paul's, but I've been there my whole life, which is really cool. It's, I didn't want to go anywhere else particularly because that would have been scary. But I've been blessed to be able to sow into our church more intently. So yeah, just started this year and loving it. It's really great. Yeah,
good. All right, well, I might just pray for Josh and Bren, and then we'll get underway. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've gathered us and set aside some time for us today to focus on how we can serve you. We thank you for Josh and Brent and their time that they've given up to prepare for us today. And we pray that through their words you might work in our hearts, that your spirit might guide us in the ways that you would have us go, so that we might serve you better in the churches and in our homes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we're going to like tag team. So you signed up for the right one. This is going to be cool. I was wondering why you might have picked this session. Maybe you're in the creative arts team at church, if there is a team. Maybe you're thinking about it. Maybe you're a minister who's like, we should probably do something arty at church. Or maybe you're a bit like me. I'm quite shallow with like breakout sessions. I'm like, all right, which one sounds the most interesting? That's all I want. So you read it, you're like, creative arts for the contemporary church. Okay, I could survive that. I can survive half an hour of that. And maybe you thought, you know, we'll do some performing or some art or something for you today. Got anything up your sleeve, Bren?
We've got time.
Okay, if you've got time. So I don't know why you're here or what you're thinking about getting out of this session. Whatever the reason you decided to come this arvo, I wanted to think what's the goal of church? What's the goal of meeting together on a Sunday or whenever you meet? What is it that you want to achieve through what happens at a service? And I can imagine that for most of us, what we simply want is for people to be transformed by Jesus. That's the goal. That's the goal of our church service. Whether that's for the first time, someone finding Jesus for the first time, or just Christians growing in their faith, that is the reason why we meet. We want all people to be transformed into fully devoted followers of Jesus. So the question we're going to ask for the next 20 minutes or half an hour is, how do we use creative arts in this? How do we use creative arts to achieve that goal, to be transformed by Jesus? Well, let's go to the Bible. We love the Bible. So what does Paul say about the arts? He says this, "For I am not ashamed of dancing, because the power of dance that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Amen? Amen? I went to a dodgy Bible college, sorry. Okay. You got out of there, it's all right. It doesn't go like that. Okay. Okay, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of audiovisual, because it's the power of a well-edited video that brings salvation to those who believe." Oh, yeah, creative arts.
Yeah?
You know what it says. It says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." So before we get into any creative arts, we need to be reminded that the gospel is the most important thing we have in a service whenever we meet, even in a conversation with someone. In fact, it's the only thing that has the power to transform a life for Jesus. I went to a young adults event the other week. So I'm involved in young adults ministry at our church. I went to a different church who was putting one on. And I was there, you know, with my critical glasses on, like, you know, how are they going to go? Like, it's their first time. And I wasn't really engaged by anything they did particularly. It was an outreach event. So I was trying to think like a non-churched person, maybe someone who doesn't know about Jesus. And even for myself, I wasn't that engaged by some of the stuff they did. But then the preacher came up and he fully engaged, not just me, but everyone for a whole hour. It was probably the best gospel presentation I've ever heard. And I kind of left thinking they could have scrapped everything else and just had him and it would have been amazing. But does it make sense that they don't necessarily have to use creative arts to engage if the gospel is presented and is engaging enough? And that's what I wanted to put before us, before we get to specifics of creative arts. The point of creative arts isn't to complete a service or complete the gospel. The idea of creative arts is to complement the gospel, to help point us to the gospel. So when we're thinking about what do we do on a Sunday, or what do we do at a service or an event, it's not to add things in that we feel like the church needs, or someone's asked us to put a dance or a drama on. We actually want it to point towards the gospel, because the gospel is the power to transform a life. And I think as a minister, or even as a Christian, or as a preacher, or whatever you're doing at church, this should relax us. It should relax us, because the power of change isn't in how good I speak, or how well the band plays, or how well tailored my clothes are. The power is simply sharing the gospel, telling the story of Jesus, and that is it. So we need to be gospel-centered. Everything that we do in creative arts is to point towards the gospel and to engage people in the sharing of the gospel. So if that's the challenge, if all we need to do is tell the story, next question is, how do we get people to listen? Romans 10:14 says this: how then can they call on one they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So the next question is, what kind of creative arts should we use? What's the most effective tool to point people towards the gospel? I'm going to use a big word: contextualization. Contextualization. What is contextualization? It's simply engaging the audience. And before we do any creative arts, this is so important, to engage the audience. Now, did you notice that I'm using English to speak to you today? I'm not using Mandarin or French, probably because I don't know how to, but yeah. Does it make sense that what I'm doing now is contextualizing for you? Because I assume we're in Australia, you probably understand English. That's all that contextualization is. How do you engage with your audience? You've got to know who the audience is. And this is one of the most important questions for creative arts. See, I don't know about the churches that you go to, but for us, we have four different services on a Sunday and they look completely different. Totally different style, totally different audience. And what we need to know is that to engage certain audiences, you need different things. And that's contextualization. Our senior minister, John Gray, is the best at this. This is what John will do, because he has to go to all four services. I don't know how he does it. Some of you might have four services on a Sunday. I don't know how you do it. This is what he does. 8 a.m. is our traditional service, traditional prayer book service. We have to be like 70 plus to go. I don't know if that's a rule, but, you know, it's something like that. So 8 a.m., he's there, full suit, tie, everything, looking great for these guys. As the day progresses, he contextualizes. So at the 10 a.m. service, takes his jacket off, takes the tie off. They love it. Gets to 5 p.m., a night service, he's in jeans. He's done a full costume change. He's in jeans and a shirt. Gets to 7, he's got a t-shirt and thongs on. He's contextualizing.
And a different story at each time.
And the way he preaches, completely different. So does it make sense? Before we even get into creative arts, we need to know who the audience is. That's the most important thing. If someone, if Brent came to me and said, I want you to do a video for the 8 a.m. service. Does it make sense? I would have no idea what they need, what they want, because we're generations apart. For, in order for me to do that, I would have to spend time with those people and be like, do you even want a video? Is that even going to engage you? At the same time, if I ask Bren to do something for the 5 p.m. service, which half of them are youth, so high school age, it might be more difficult for him to even know what they need or what they want to engage them, and even for me as well. So we need to have conversations with the audience to actually know who they are, what they need, and what's going to engage them. So one of the things that we're going to touch on later with Bren is how do you get that? Because you might be in a similar position where you've got different services, different people, and you can't just choose one thing that's going to engage all of them. So how is it that we use the congregation to help engage their congregation? So we haven't really talked about much about creative arts yet, so I hope you don't think this is a waste of time. But the reason why I wanted to start off with gospel and contextualization is so that you don't waste your time. I remember I made a video once for a young adults event. I put everything I had into this video. It took ages. If you've ever done video, it takes double as long as you think it should. I put everything into this video. I was going to play it before the sermon. It had nothing to do with the sermon. Absolutely nothing to do with it. The preacher didn't reference and didn't talk about it at all. And it was a complete waste of time. And what I want to do is make sure that we don't waste our time putting all our effort into creative arts, because that's what we think we need. If it doesn't point towards the gospel, if it doesn't complement the preaching of the gospel. And not just using creative arts for creative arts' sake, but as Bren will share, using it as a vehicle to be able to share the gospel in different ways. But I'm going to leave it up to Bren to talk more about the specifics of creative arts, but wanted to open up this this afternoon with those two things. Is everything we're doing gospel-centered? And are we knowing who else is? Because they're the two most important things before we even think about creative arts. So Brent, I'll tag you in.
Thanks, Josh. We're going to leave time at the end of this as well for some questions, so just make a note of that and we'll try to cover those if what we say here isn't quite clear or if you want to dig a little bit deeper into something. Just on that example Josh used of a cool video that maybe not helped the gospel talk. And another example of that is even just last Christmas, as well as we're thinking through all of this and trying to make sure everything points towards the message, last Christmas we thought we'd get really creative and we had a team of young people in to plan one of our services. And we had a cool video to start off the service. And then there was a cool drama in the middle. There was another really good item, a great performance of a song. And there was all these really cool creative things throughout the service, but a lot of it didn't really support the message. We dropped the ball by not talking enough to John, who was preaching that night. And looking back as we reflected on it, there was some really clever and skillful things done, but not all of it really pointed towards that message. So I just wanted to affirm what Josh is saying about as you're preparing either your talk or a service, not just thinking about that 25 minutes that you've got, but to actually plan that whole hour and 15 minutes or however long it is so that it all flows together in some sort of pattern. Think about not just who's there, but where do you want to end up? You've probably heard that before, so I hope that's helpful. Now, in your heading there, it says something about contemporary, you know, creative arts. I'll get onto creative arts in a moment, but I just thought I'd add in a little explanation of why I wanted it to call it for the contemporary church. It can be a little bit argumentative. So all I mean about contemporary is the people that we're talking to in these current times. I'm not talking about a particular style because, as you know, it changes. Every 5 or 10 years, we're onto something different. So I'm not holding onto something now and saying this is contemporary and it's always going to be contemporary. I just wanted to use that as an example of contemporary is just what the audience or the congregation we're talking to or communicating to is listening to and watching and how they relate in this present time. That's all I mean by contemporary. I'm sure there was a time where the pipe organ was not even cool. You know, if we go back 100 years or whenever it first came in, there would have been a time where that was evil and it's of the devil and how dare this be brought into the church. So it changes, as you can imagine. All right, let's talk a little bit about the creative arts. My introduction for that, Josh, is I think everyone is called to be creative. The Bible tells us that we are made in the image of God and He's the ultimate creator. So that He's made all of us to be creative. And so I just think that's something that we can all be inspired by. You may not paint or play a guitar, but in some way you've been gifted to be creative. Some of the things that we use at St. Paul's, just when you, before I get into what we use at St. Paul's, when you hear of creative arts, what are some of the things you think of? Just shout out some of the elements that you think of in creative arts.
Drama.
Drama. Music. Anything else? Yep. Video. Graphics, stage design. Sometimes dance can be helpful. There's a whole range of things that can be used. What I'd like us to help us think through the creative arts, we've got this whole range of tools to use. And I like to think of it as a toolbox. Think you're like you're a tradesman and you've got all these tools at your disposal. You have to use the right tool at a particular time. You know, you're not going to hit a nail with a sledgehammer. You've probably heard that before. There's a particular tool that you can use that will really hit home. And so in our meetings with pastors, where, you know, I don't always chair these, but when I do sit in with the pastor for an upcoming message, I'll try to dig from him or her what is the main point that you're wanting to talk about that week. Is there a song that you know of, or what's a theme? And we try to communicate together what are some of the things that might help communicate your message. Because if we're trying to support that message that they deliver later in the service, there's some questions that might be raised. We don't want to answer the sermon before it has even been given. Does that make sense? So there could be a video, there could be a drama, there could be an item, a musical item. Casting Crowns tend to write a lot of items that can be helpful to a sermon illustration. But it's just thinking through all these different options that you can use, but making sure, what we do anyway, is make sure that we talk to the preacher and go, here's an example of something, is that going to help? And then trying to work out what might best support their message. In choosing what art form we might use as well, we also look at the gifting of the church. We want to provide opportunities for people to use their gifts. And if we don't have a drama team, it's going to be hard to put on a drama. There might be a perfect script, but who's going to do it? So then again, it's understanding who's in your team. If you've got people in the church who can build sets and do painting, then we're more likely to say to them, hey, this is the theme. Can you think of something that might support this sermon series or a stage design? Or if we've got people who can make video, we'll include them in the conversation and go, here's the theme. So it's understanding who in your team can do particular artistic things. I know there's a church in the city who have a lot of graphic designers. They don't do a lot of dance, but they've got a lot of graphic designers in their church. So you tend to see a lot more of that sort of thing happening because that's who God has gifted them with. That's who's in their church, and that's the flavor that they're going to bring throughout their services. So what this means is it's the body of Christ coming together. There's a couple of references you've probably heard before, but in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, Paul's talking about the body of Christ and how we all work together because it's the one spirit. We're a diverse people, but there's unity in diversity. And I think that's one of the great things about seeing the church come together with all different gifts and different ideas. But if we're faithful and can communicate well with one another, we're going to identify those gifts that might work on a particular week. All right. That's probably all I wanted to say on creative arts. I know we've skipped really quickly there, but we've only really got sort of half an hour, so we're going to leave some time for some questions after that. Do you want to talk about the next bit?
Yeah, cool. Something I've been thinking about recently with I think this is a really, really cool question because if you get to a point where you're like, we want a video, we've seen a video done really well, and you have no one in your church who does video, don't do video. Does it make sense? It's either impossible or you put so much stress on one person to make this thing that you're hoping will be perfect and everything like that. But just use the gifts that you have. And I think the really cool thing, and probably for us as leaders, our leadership is finding the gifts, because you might be like, oh, no one does video, but there might be a few gems in there who that's their passion. And for us as leaders, we need to find them. And I guess a little part on leadership, something I've been thinking about is exploiting versus exploring. I think sometimes as leaders, we think, okay, this person, they're really good at editing videos. Let's just say that. And it gets to the week before we want something done. Like, oh, you know, can you edit this video? I know you can do it. Can you just edit it for me? That'd be great. First of all, we don't realize how long that will actually take that person. Secondly, it's not really leading them in the vision behind the video. It's just a task. We want to be people that there's no jobs in our church. We don't want people to do jobs. We want people to be involved in the whole vision of what we're doing. So if it is that we need a video made and edited, I think, well, why do we even need this video in the first place? And if we take it back and talk to this person and say, hey, this video is going to be really great because this is what it's about. This is how it's going to feed into the message or the sermon. And imagine how engaging that will be for people who might not normally come to church, or people who think more that way rather than just listening to a sermon, to actually involve them in the whole vision rather than, can you just edit this video? And the reason I say exploit versus explore is our fallback is sometimes exploiting someone. And I don't mean it in that we want them to have a negative experience, but often we fall back on, hey, you're that guy who always takes photos or whatnot. Can you just do that again for me? Instead of when you explore someone's gift, it actually takes time to sit down with them and say, God's given you this thing, or maybe revealing to them, there's something that I see in you that it's untapped. And what we want to do is find the untapped gifts in our congregation. This takes time, it takes intention, it takes conversations, but like Bren was saying, all different parts of the body, you'd be surprised at the passion and gifts that are lying untapped in our churches. And I was thinking, when you exploit someone's gift, you're benefited because you need something done and it gets done. When you explore someone's gift, you're benefited as well as them because now they've been able to use their talents to bless the body. So that's what I was thinking about, exploring versus exploiting and making sure that we are the best leaders in that. And leadership takes time, it takes intention, but to get the best out of people and for them to serve God rather than just serving you, I think that's the way to go. So that's just something on our gifts, to use what we've got, but also to search out people. And one of the hardest things is like searching out young people because we don't trust them much. We think they might stuff up or they don't have the right heart for it, but that's a part of us investing in the next generation. And I think that's the best way to go. When we're talking about how do you engage, say, the youth, you might be like, oh, yeah, that's easy. Some of you might be like, I have no idea how to engage the youth. They're crazy. They don't know anything. But just talk to them because you'll find youth who are on fire for Jesus. They're not really sure what to do with that. But imagine having someone come and lead them, to invest in them, to give them the power to be able to be involved in a service or be involved in ministry. So I would say, I would encourage you, and this is for myself and Brent as well, is really invest in young people with a lot of this stuff. They've got the time, they've got the energy, they've got the passion to be able to invest in church. And when a leader gives you an opportunity, they don't take that lightly. They actually put as much as they can and are careful with what they produce. So I would encourage you to do that. And the last thing that I want to say before I pass back to Bren is, we're thinking about creative arts as maybe the platform. What happens on the platform? What happens on the screen? Or when people enter the church, what do they see? One of my challenges now is taking a massive step back from that and thinking, if creative arts is all about engaging people, that shouldn't happen just from the stage, because they've already spent 15, 20 minutes on our church property. Have they been engaged in that area as well? So we're thinking about the car park to car park kind of thinking. What kind of experience is someone having, especially who's not from the church, when they drive into our car park, they park, they walk to the building? What's their experience? Who's got Facebook here? Anyone? A couple of people. There's an option on Facebook where, so you've got a profile, it's got your pictures, it's got your name. And there's a button called View As. And what this button does is you can view your profile from anyone else. So you can either type in a name of a friend, or you can view it as someone who's not your friend on Facebook. What do people see if they look on your profile? And I was thinking, sometimes we should do that at church. What is someone seeing who's not a member of our church from the point that they drive into our car park, from the time that they leave? What is their experience? What do they leave feeling like? And so sometimes we've done a few things of actually intentionally putting people in the car park. So the very first thing that that person sees is someone waving and smiling, breaking down a wall so that the gospel can be preached. When they come to the church, there might be someone doing coffee. It's creative art. Breaking down a wall of, okay, this isn't my experience of church before. Why is this different? What's different about these people? Every single thing the music leading up to the point where the gospel is preached, and suddenly that person is ready to hear it. They're not cold because they've been warmed by every bit of engagement up until that point. And then after the service, do they just leave, or is someone chatting to them, walking in them, morning tea, whatever you do? What is their car park to car park experience? That's a challenge for every church, because who has time to think about that? But if we intentionally think about it, I think our whole service, our whole Sunday, whenever we meet, is going to be completely transformed, so people will have their ears open to hear the gospel. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I agree totally, obviously. But I don't think we get it right as often as we should. But at least we're aware of it. There are some weeks where I just think, what? How did that happen? Something as obvious as, you know, that we've just missed. To try to make that experience for the congregation person, whether they're a visitor or a regular, how can we make their experience of church so good and engaging with God, an opportunity to hear from God and connect with God in a profound way? What can we do from that first minute they arrive? That's why we call it car park to car park. We want every element of the service, before and during and after, to be a profound way for them to connect with Jesus. Cool. I think we've only got a few minutes left, so we probably should jump to question time. And we'll hang around for a few minutes afterwards if people have any more questions. So we want to put it to you. We certainly don't have all the answers, so let us put it to you and see what we can do. What have we done at Castle Hill to try to be attractional as well as relating to regulars? Is that your question?
Sometimes it just makes people more selfish and more self-absorbed by pandering to,
yep.
Well, we've all got hipster pastors, so that's cool. Everything's cool. How do we actually still decide to not let this just be interesting?
That's a tough one. How do we address a time where people are very consumeristic? Yeah. Look, I think that's a pastoral issue for the whole week, not just our hour at church. So through small groups, through communication, through personal time with God, that's an opportunity for us to be thinking more of others than ourselves. I don't know whether we can answer that fully today, but let me just add something quickly, and then Josh has got something. One of the things we do, and again, we're not perfect. I hope you're not hearing us as being, hey, we've got it right, do what St. Paul's do. Not at all. There's some principles that maybe you can apply to your church. One of our main focuses in being contextual is what's relevant for the congregation. Whether they're new or regular, how can we communicate the gospel to them at where they're at? That's what we try to do.
Yeah, I think it's a really important question, because you might have sat in some churches and be like, this is a bit weak, or they're just doing that because it feels comfortable for them. And I think one of the important things is when we get to the message, what's the message saying? Is it a comfortable message, just like what we're trying to do from someone's experience? Or is it truthful and not just engaging but challenging? I don't know who said this. Probably a bunch of people passed it on, but the point of preaching is to comfort the afflicted, or afflict the comforted, or afflict the comfortable. And we need to think about that all the time, because I'll tell you now, at St. Paul's, we got a lot of comfortable people, Bible Belt, Christian schools, Christian families, Christian dogs, Christian workplace. Like, it annoys me sometimes that I'm part of that. But, and I think your question is totally relevant, because I'm trying to think, most of my young adults come from one particular school who are completely sheltered, and I want to afflict them as much as possible. It's not just about making this place that people feel warm and comfortable, but once they're there and once they feel like ready to hear the message, that's when the gospel comes in and offends them, hopefully. Yeah.
Frustrating, because I trained as an architect and majored in fine arts and gave it up because I thought it was unspiritual, a waste of time in my early years pursuing something. And even now, people don't think of the church building or the decorative arts as part of worshipping God or giving honor to God through the gifts that you have. So what's your view on, I know the performance stuff is all very nice, but there's more to the fine arts than creative arts and just what you're doing in church and
Yeah, I think you should. Yes. So we talked about a lot about performance arts, but yeah, what about the architectural or structural gifting that people have as well? we have pews, and it's an eyesore that we have things that I think, as Brent was saying, God's given us creativity to make things beautiful, and again, I think we're like, well, what do we need? We need a building. Doesn't matter what it looks like, but I think people need to challenge that. I don't know. Like, we're trying to do that as well. Like, how do you make something reflect God's creativity in a building? So we completely agree with it. It's one of those things that's really hard to implement. We try sometimes.
Not all of the arts we use are on the platform, though. Sometimes we'll hang something or put something in the foyer. I think they're all valuable. It's all part of God's creation. Again, it's the body of Christ. Sometimes outside there might be a use of lighting that will do that might be attractive for people. So not just up front, I think just as valuable are other arts that we use in the kids' ministry area or in the foyer or in the office. You know, there's stuff hanging that might make a statement, and they're all just as valuable. Yeah? Does that help? Just behind, yep. At least 8 weeks. And that depends on how good you're, how far ahead the senior minister might be preparing. We'll look at a Christmas next week so that we've got time to, just let me answer that question. The question was, how far ahead do we look at a sermon series? And as long as we can get. Maybe.
I didn't know it was 8 weeks, but even in saying that, so that comes from that side of it, often doesn't always work out that way, as in there might be a week where the service leader or director or whoever's looking after that will be in contact with the preacher about how can we make this a full service rather than just silos of music and then preaching. So that's coming from me as a preacher. Like, someone contacted me the week earlier and we chatted about it. I'm definitely not prepared 8 weeks before that. but yeah, Bren's got basic notes and he's thinking about that way before IMF. Yeah. Brent's the man for this.
The question was, where do we get our song resources from? Oh, and dramas and that sort of stuff. Okay. Yeah, at St. Paul's, we're growing our team of songwriters so that we can equip the church. So one is internally. There's a whole range of other musical resources that we use. Maybe come and see me later if you want some specifics, because it's all based on what your church is looking for. I think it's got to be tailored to what style and what sort of how rich you want it. I think we're looking for really good theology first, if it's gospel centered. But stylistically, there's some changes, whether it's English, American, Australian. Maybe we can take that offline. Drama wise, though, we use the Skit Guys as one place that's sort of quite more lighthearted. And for video, we use Worship Media House or Sermon Spice. They're just two creative sites to find different resources. Are we nearly out of time?
Yeah.